guy's uncomfortable.
In my job description.
Glory to God.
They say a pastor's job is to comfort the afflicted, and then you bring in an evangelist once in a while.
I don't have to say that. I don't say that everywhere I go. I mean it. And I can't believe the meeting's over. It just, a year goes fast. It's like we wait a year, but a year goes pretty fast, and then the week goes fast. And if it keeps going like this, we'll be in heaven before you know it. I like that idea. And the Lord continues to tarry to give us time to reach some lost folks some more, then, Lord willing, we'll be back. Pray for us. We'll sure pray for you. And you pray for us like you do, and we really appreciate it. I appreciate prayers according to my prayer request last night. Today I signed a contract with a publishing company, and maybe by the next time we come here, and I suppose probably maybe by Christmas we'll be a published author. And the purpose of the book is to get some folks to Jesus Christ. And that's the whole purpose, because I'm not even a reader, let alone a writer. But the Lord burdened me with something, and your pastor's helped me with it, and is helping me with it now. And it's about to become a reality, it looks like. And so more prayers needed. So please keep that in prayer. What are we singing? I don't know which one's first. I see the yellow thing. What's the name of the song? Got it. Okay, now we're ready.
Am I on?
Hello.
You want to say anything?
I'm going to start crying if I say anything.
I always like that one.
I was hoping I wouldn't start crying, because then it's hard to play the piano when you got tears in your eyes. But just really love you guys a lot. And I think about you a lot during the year and, you know, pray for your needs, and your faces come up before me. And you become very dear to us. It takes a few years for everybody to get to know each other, but you're just very precious people. And you guys treat us and welcome us, treat us so nicely, and make us feel like we're home when we come here. And I really thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers for us. They are very much needed. And we're already looking forward to seeing you guys again. Amen.
Amen. Need a handkerchief?
No, I'll just...
Okay. You learned that from me. Probably.
No. Ready?
Yes, ma'am. I was lost and alone in this cold, dark world. No peace of mind, no freedom could I see. But little did I know I had a friend somewhere. Someone I didn't know saw some good in me. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed the time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God could bring me out, that He could change my life and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. I trusted in the things that the world could give, not knowing soon they all would pass away. But because someone cared enough to pray for me, I trusted God and now I'm safe today. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed the time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God could bring me out, that He could change my life and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. Amen. Amen. Thank God for praying Mom and Dad tonight, I'll tell you that. But I got me through stuff that there is no other explanation.
Amen.
I didn't understand that until I started walking with God. And, amen.
Amen.
All right. Make sure I got the right one.
It was my sister that prayed for me.
Amen.
We're a big Catholic family with 9 kids, and my sister got saved first, and she started praying for the rest of us, and all 9 of us have gotten saved. Over a 20-year period, but
amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
He knew me long before my eyes beheld the light of day, and as I grew, He always knew each step that I would take. When the day arrived that I would know Him too, I would find such peace of mind and a love so true. Jesus, You're the greatest friend of all. You're always there when on Your name I call. You supply my every need. In You I am complete. Jesus, You're the greatest friend of all. Ever since the day He came, He made my life brand new.
I'm not the same.
He broke the chains of sin that I once knew.
And
though I slip and sometimes fall, He lends a helping hand. He gives me strength and courage to get on my feet again. Jesus, You're the greatest friend of all. You're always there when on Your name I call. You supply my every need. In You I am complete. Jesus, You're the greatest friend of all. You supply my every need. In You I am complete. Jesus, You're the greatest friend of all.
Amen. All right. excuse us. We had a request, but we've decided
pray
to sing
me.
Anyway.
This is a really hard song. Everybody pray.
All right. I know a pastor likes this, so we're gonna try to sing it. Close this thing out.
I don't know if we've done
the thing about it is that it's so true.
Amen.
You know, it's so easy to get messed up, so easy to get into sin. We're sinners by nature. That really makes it easy. We're wired that way. We're bent, prone to wander. And boy, we wander and far from God and getting all kinds of mess. And then the Lord woos us. The Spirit of God woos us. God loves us so much. He gave us His only begotten Son. And the Lord made it easy to come to Him. It just took one. The basic component was to get honest with yourself. Admit you couldn't save yourself. For some of it was real easy. I'm glad my life was such a mess. Because if I'd have had an ounce of self-righteousness in me, maybe I would have thought I didn't need the Savior. There was no confusing that need in my heart when I heard the truth. And so I got honest with myself in a jail cell, and I got honest with God. And boy, and I called on Him. And He saved me. He didn't change the way I looked. He didn't change my circumstances. That came later as I grew in grace and knowledge. But I got honest and it made all the difference in the world eternally. But we have a God tonight that it just as He made it easy to get saved, and just as the components were the admitting to ourselves that we really do need Him. Prone to wander is still an attribute of a human being, because our flesh isn't saved. And so we get off track and we get off the path of righteousness, and if we stay off very long, we can make a real mess even as Christians. Somebody should amen that, because it's the truth. But the thing about our great God is that He not only made it easy to get saved in the first place, He makes it easy for us to get right with God when we mess up. And He had to, because we mess up.
Amen.
Amen. And what does it take? Same thing. Be honest with yourself and honest with God, and you can have your relationship and your fellowship and your joy and your peace and your fellowship with the family of God. You can have it restored. And I don't know about you, but man, that's right next to what He did on the cross as being a miraculous thing. Now here's what that does. It really, I mean, in both cases, salvation and getting right with the Lord, it leaves us without excuse, because God's covered all the bases. He's made all the first moves. And now it's our move. You're not staying there tonight, it's your move. Christ went to the cross. If your life got out of control at some point along the way, let's get it back under control by admitting some things that you and God both already know, and asking Him to forgive you, like
Amen.
You did when He saved you.
Amen.
And He will. I don't feel like He will. I don't hope He will. I just like salvation, I got His word on it. So, your need tonight, maybe this song will help you. I hope it will.
Okay.
Getting like Brother Dean. I hope.
Lately I've wondered as time hurries on, what have I done with the days come and gone? And I remember how once I was drawn into your sanctuary. When did I wander so far away? How did I get here? Why did I stray? And can I ever find my way back to your sanctuary? Nothing have I on earth but you. No one but you in heaven. So continue to do anything else but come to you. All of my follies I finally see. I've no place to hide, I've no place to flee. If I ran heaven, so why do I continue to do everything else but come to you? I will remember what you hill to die on that tree. There I will go and bend my knee, and there I'll find sanctuary.
Maybe that's what you need tonight. Sanctuary. Man, it's available. It really is. Why wouldn't you get it? Why you can't. All right. Okay, thank you for the water, Brother Tommy, again. Well, last message of the meeting. So, time to get back and get life back on track to normal routines and take anything that the Lord done or showed you, any victory you got or any conviction that you need to act on. It's time to get those things in place and get back to the trenches and live for God. And amen. Let's do what we're supposed to do because He deserved that of us. Philippians tonight, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at a verse tonight, and we're going to preach it, Lord willing, tonight, and I pray that it is just what the doctor ordered to conclude this conference. That's exactly what I asked for, how to wrap this thing up in a way that would be an exhortation, a blessing and encouragement to you tonight. And so we'll read verse 13. And Paul writes this here. He writes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. I can do. I call this can do. Tonight, I'd like to leave you with that encouragement that, beloved, tonight, you can do all things through Christ. Amen. That does not mean that you can go jump off the Empire State Building. It doesn't mean you can do anything because you're a Christian. It means you can do anything and everything that you're supposed to do according to the leading of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen. You hear things preached and some things hit home and some things you know that you'll have to address in the future when the time's right. And then sometimes things get presented to you that just seem unattainable. There's nothing that you're admonished to do in the Word of God, doctrinally correct, rightly divided, that you can't do, because you can do all things through Christ. Anything, everything you're supposed to do. He doesn't tell you to live godly. He doesn't tell you to live for Him. If you can't, if you couldn't, you can through Christ. I hope this is an encouragement to you tonight. Can do. I travel around. I get to go through Washington, D.C. every other year or so, preach down there in that area, always go to Arlington National Cemetery. Every time I'm in the area, I go there, I watch the changing of the guard, the Tomb of the Unknowns. My dad and mom took me there in 1965, and I don't know, about 5 years ago, I took my dad back there. He was 86, I took him back there to show him the World War II Memorial, and that they built for him, and and went on out there and saw the changing of the guard. I like that place. It's a solemn place. It's an honorable place. And I appreciate sacrifice that was made for the freedom that I enjoy. I know it just didn't happen by chance. I've been in enough other countries, so have some of you, to know that with all our faults and all our failures, that this is by far the greatest country on the planet. I don't say that to demean any other planet. If you any other country. Yeah. Amen. It might be the sign on the back of the logging truck. It said Earth first. And the guy that the Bible believer that read that thought that was a strange thing to see on the back of a logging truck. And as he got closer, it said, "We'll log the other planets later." Amen. So listen, beloved, no matter what you've heard, there are other planets. Okay, I know. That's all right, moving along. As you come out of Arlington and you come out of the cemetery and there's a drive that goes out, there's monuments on each side, several to different branches of the military. Ahead of you is the bridge going back into the District of Columbia, and the back of the Lincoln Memorial is in view, and there's a monument there to women that have served in the military, and I got no problem with that. They deserve one, too. There's a monument. My favorite is the Screaming Eagle insignia of the 101st Airborne Division. I like that, being there, being a paratrooper myself. But the last one going out, or the first one coming in, is a nice granite statue, if you will, of a man, a military man, but his uniform is in a combat uniform like an infantryman. He has dungarees on and his shirt sleeves are rolled up, and he has a shovel in his hand and bulging muscles, and above his head is inscribed these words, "Can do." Now that's the motto of the United States Navy, Seabees. And those are the men that oftentimes go in before the combat troops and make a way for helicopters to get on the ground, or landing strips to be built, or bridges and beachheads to be prepared. And these guys, they do what they do not only under great pressure, but usually under fire. And I appreciate the spirit. It's can do. When they get an order, they just say, "Sir, yes, sir. Can do." I like that. I like that kind of attitude. To me, a positive attitude is encouraging. You know, we got going on in Christianity today. We got a "I'll try" attitude. I understand anything gets done, Lord willing, Lord helping. But there's just something to be said. Amen, for a can-do attitude, especially in light of the fact that if you're saved tonight, you've got a Savior that through Him, you can do
Amen.
All things you're supposed to do.
Amen.
In September, we blew the engine in our motorhome. You're well aware of it because this church contributed greatly to getting us a new engine. And again, I thanked you in November. I thank you by letter. I'm thanking you again tonight. Amen. And we drove from 1,100 miles to get to a meeting and used a quart of oil every 100 miles. Stopped every 100 miles and had to add a quart because I wanted, if I'm going to break down, I broke down where I had friends. Amen. I was in the middle of Louisiana. I not only didn't know anybody, I'm not even sure if I spoke the language. And they were nice and their food was good, but I didn't want to spend a month there while they were working on my motorhome. Amen. Picking crawdads out of their teeth and stuff. And amen. And so I made it to Pensacola, and the diagnosis on the motor was that it was beyond help and it needed to be replaced. I don't know if you're a mechanic, but that's not a small job on something like that. And I flew my wife home to Ohio for a couple weeks to be with a daughter, and I borrowed a trailer and put that dog and me in that Jeep and went on and left the motor home behind in a shop. And the shop I left it with wasn't a dealership, wasn't a motor home. facility, repair facility. It was a little bitty shop, that I just stopped in to ask a question about something completely different and just run by, you know, maybe they knew somebody. And they said this, that guy said it's about 32-year-old guy run the small shop. We can do it. I said, excuse me? This shop isn't even big enough to put a motorhome in. Amen. Just a couple of bays, did oil changes, and they swapped motors and cars. He said, we can do that. We can do that. If men build it, we can rebuild it. And, you know, I don't know if the guy knew what he was talking about or I didn't then, but I sure appreciate that attitude. I'd already called the Ford dealership. I'd already called the RV dealers, and they didn't even want the job. They didn't even want the job. No kind of indication that, and I knew they could do it, but they would charge $150 an hour labor and didn't even give me any kind of estimation of how long it might take. Could take months. And that's how we get around, and that's where we live. And I didn't know, and I'm asking God, and I've got friends, and I'm having them to pray that God would show me what to do. And I stumbled across this little shop, and I gave them the job, not because of their resume, not because of their great life of 30 years of experience. I gave them the job because of that attitude right there. I wanted somebody that had some confidence that get in there and get their hands dirty. And I prayed for them every day, witnessed to them, had great. I know it's where the Lord wanted us to be. But here's what I'm saying to you. They got the job because of a can-do attitude. And it's as scriptural as you could want. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I pray that you bless the man even this night that came to the jail with the gospel. And I thank you, Lord, that I had enough sense. I was locked up long enough to sober up and straighten up and realize that I so desperately need it. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved me. And Father, I thank you for the little church that took me in. And in spite of my past and in spite of my appearance, they made me feel welcome and helped me learn some things and prayed for me and so many things. I thank you for the call to evangelism. I thank you, Lord, that it brought me to First Bible Church. And I pray, Lord God, tonight, that you would meet with us and finish this meeting off in a way that will be pleasing in your sight but beneficial to these precious folks who, as my wife's already stated, we have come to love. And Father, if that could happen that way, if that could be so, I will thank you from the bottom of my heart, Lord, for your goodness for that as well. And I pray it in the name that is above every name, the name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, can do tonight. Let me give you a couple things tonight out of the chapter tonight. Verse number one, first of all. Verse number one. Let's look what it says there. Paul writes to this church, a church is dear to him. Look what he says. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, I feel that way about you tonight. Amen. My joy and crown. Boy, that's a pretty good couple compliments to be given to you by a man of God like the Apostle Paul. Amen. These are precious folks. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, first of all, tonight, I'd like to say to you tonight, stand fast. And you can. Because you can do all things through Christ. Amen. Go to James, James chapter 1. Let's look at a verse or two. Stand fast. The Bible says this, know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And we're there, beloved, and it's more important than ever that we stand fast. Look at verse 5, James chapter 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Not just the ones that are apparently double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So when you say one thing and do another, that's your resume right there. Amen. It says this. It said in verse, I believe, number 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, I've been evangelist over 14 years now, full-time, on the road, pretty busy. We'll finish here tonight. Preach all day in Brother Mathis Church Sunday. Tuesday, start a revival in Hamburg, New Jersey. Preach there for 3 days. Drive 600 miles. Start a 5-day camp meeting on Sunday. God's got us pretty busy. He knew I was busy for the devil. I need to be busy for God now. I understand that. It's like a prison sentence serving God. Actually, it's not. But I perceive that some people must think serving God is like a prison sentence because you dread it so. That's good preaching right there. But here's what I see in these years, in these busy times. There's a lot of wavering. There's a lot of wavering going on. There's things that that we stood for. When I got saved 20 years ago, I don't even hear him alluded to much anymore, let alone preached on. There's been some wavering. Hey, there's some old men of God that'd be rolling over in their graves by some things that are going on in churches that claim to be Bible-believing. I guarantee it tonight. Listen, there's an area where there's been some wavering, and that's the area of music. The area of music. Let me say this to you, and I appreciate the music here, and I believe it's safe. Amen. I believe if you lose control of your music, you'll never get it back. I've heard that said. Amen. It's like, well, there's churches that at one time claimed to believe the same as we believe tonight. But for the sake of evangelism, for the sake of bringing people in, they've dropped the standard. They've dropped the ball when it comes to good, godly, heart-stirring music. About them, a preacher once said once, if you got to use a rock band and a hot dog or a pizza to get people in, then the devil's going to get them out with a cheeseburger. If you got to use gimmicks, then gimmicks will get them out. Bible says the truth will make you free. And if we'll just stick with the truth and stand for the truth. Somebody asked me, what's the definition of ungodly music? And listen, it doesn't have anything to do with how many times you use Jesus' name. It has to do with the beat. It has to do with the music. I cringe sometimes when people step up to do specials and nod to the sound man. Amen. And some of the stuff that I've heard come through off of a CD accompanying music is, I was out there a long time, man. I know what rock and roll sounds like. I don't care what the lyric says. I know this. The wrong kind of music stirs your hips. Get your body moving. The right kind of music stirs your heart. You hear me tonight? A lot of wavering going on in this area. And I say it because I'm going to say it, but not because I'm worried about that. You've got that and keep hold of it. I heard a guy say this one time. If a camel can get his head in the door of a tent, just his head, he will get the rest of his body in. I don't understand all that. Amen. But I heard that applied to the wrong kind of music. So when you give a little, you better beware. Amen. Devil's destroyed a lot of churches with music.
That's
Amen. Maybe because he knows God invented it and God loves it and it's a talent God gives. And I sure am blessed by you that use the talent for God. Amen. That probably explains some of you are so talented. Probably explains why some of us didn't get hardly any, because you got our share. But a lot of wavering going on. That's what I see. But here's what Paul says. Stand fast in that area. Let me tell you something else to you. You need to stand fast when it comes to God-given Holy Ghost convictions. Again, I've seen things change in the 20 years I've been trying to live for God. As I've been on my way out of the horrible pit of worldliness and ungodliness, I'm watching Christians been saved a lot longer than me headed, we're passing. I've got liberty. Oh, that really doesn't matter. Listen, modesty's still in the Bible. New Testament. Listen, I could take you all through the Old Testament and show you the mind of God, but I don't have to. Because modesty is a New Testament Pauline doctrine. Let me tell you what it means. Not dressing in any way to draw undue attention to yourself. That can go both ways. The guy that walks into the meeting with all the Amish clothes piled on, that sticks out like a sore thumb, he's immodest too, as far as I'm concerned. Man, we're just supposed to be regular so that the Lord gets the preeminence. Not dressed in such a way that it makes other men's eyeballs bulge out. I know it. Hold on. God freaking! Listen, I thank God tonight for Holy Ghost convictions. I got saved out of a mess. I didn't have any. I got saved because I knew I was a sinner, and I got in church, and boy, I found out some things about what that Bible says, and a lot of things had it changed in my life. I'd hear things preached, man, and we didn't have to tiptoe 20 years ago, like a lot of tiptoeing going on these days. Afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings, amen. I heard things preached, and I'd go, what in the world? I'd go to the altar, and I'd say, God, what about that? And there are things that the Holy Spirit didn't convict me of at all, and I went back to my seat. Amen. And that's the way it should be, because they're personal. But there are things that specifically the Lord showed me that, yeah, that area, that issue, that needs to be addressed in your life, and you'll continue to grow. And the day you draw a line and say, well, bless God, I don't care what that preacher said, what that Bible says, what the Holy Spirit says, I'm just going to be this way. Well, that's where, yeah, thank God, you better thank God you can't lose your salvation. But I'm telling you, that's where your spiritual growth will stop right there. The day you quit being sensitive to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and the day you just make up your mind that you're satisfied with where you're at, that's where you'll stay. And here's what Paul said, and things concerning godliness, he said, stand fast. And I'd say stand fast with those convictions. Thank God. You know what? Personal Holy Ghost convictions are what makes Christianity real. Amen. That's why it's not just a bunch of rules. It's not just a bunch of regulations. We can go to God and say, what about this and what about that? But when the Lord shows you something, man, don't change up on that thing because someone else doesn't have the same one. That doesn't matter. What does it matter what somebody else is doing? He said, stand fast, and I encourage you to, if God's given you something, man, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, what anybody else is doing. If God's spoken to you about an issue or an area, man, stand fast. Amen. The world's changing every day, and we're changing every other day, and we think that, that makes us spiritual because we're not spiraling down as fast as they are. Well, that's not what your spirituality is based on. Staying behind the world, your spirituality has to do with how close you are to God. Amen? Listen, preacher said it tonight. Stand fast on the King James Bible. Stand fast on the Word of God. Even fundamentalists are questioning it again. It's a big controversy. And now amongst folks that claim to be Bible believers, and they say, well, we believe it's preserved because the Bible says it's preserved. Psalm 12, verse 7. But then they say, well, we don't believe it's inspired. It's preserved, okay, but my Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. My mom, I grew up out in the country in northern Ohio, and my mom would can stuff. She had a big garden. She'd can grapes, jelly, and green beans. She'd can stuff. She'd put it away. I mean, we had a cellar for that. Listen, what she put in that, what she put in that jar and sucked the air out and sealed was perfect. Why would you preserve something that wasn't? If it wasn't perfect going in, it ain't going to be perfect later on when you open it. Well, let me tell you something. God's got more sense than we do, and He preserved His Word, and you're sealed until the day of redemption, and the Word of God's right and perfect. And somebody says, Brother Spurgeon, can you prove it? As in, you know, give me some Greek and Hebrew. I'll give you some Greek and Hebrew. You won't like it. But I can prove the King James Bible is the Word of God this simple. One day in a jail cell, I did what it said. And I became a new creature in Jesus Christ. I didn't become a wimp. I become a man the day I bought my heart to Christ. Amen. Now listen, where I come from, when something works, hey, don't mess with it. That Bible works. Amen. It doesn't need to be improved on. We're the ones that need to be improved on. And right there is the solution, right there. So stand fast on that, and I got no doubt that you will. And I know it's perilous times, and I know that there's a lot of wavering going on, but could I remind you, it's always darkest before the dawn. Boy, when we are getting ready to invade Germany in 1944, Hitler amassed everything he had to throw against the Allies to keep them out of the fatherland, he called it. And that's known as the Battle of the Bulge. And I'll tell you what, right down to the wire, that could have went either way. Why? Because the enemy fought with everything he had as a last-ditch effort before the invasion. And they failed. And we went in. I say that, say this. The enemy is fighting harder than ever. You follow me? Can I say this to you? The sun of righteousness is about to break over that eastern sky. Okay, how can you tell? Look at the world. Look at what's going on that we're talking about today. As it is in the days of Noe. I read a blurb on the news today that California has passed a law that they got to teach gay history in elementary schools now. I never even heard of gay history. I asked the pastor, are they going to go back to Sodom or all the way back to Ham? Yeah, read it yourself. Where's gay history start? Amen. It's not time to quit. Not time to let up or even lighten up. Time to stand fast. Amen. You can. Because you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All right. Number two. Verse four. Hebrews. No, not Hebrews. Not that I have anything against Hebrews. Philippians 4 and verse 4. The Bible says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Boy, I'll tell you what, something that's necessary to keep your sanity is to rejoice, to keep your joy in the right thing. Psalm 118 verse 24 says this. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we've had some beautiful weather this week, haven't it? I mean, you go out, it's just beautiful. It's easy. It's easy to rejoice. It's the day that the Lord, what a beautiful day. We say it. It's easy to rejoice when the weather is beautiful. Amen. There's a lot of people who weren't rejoicing around here. And I'm not talking about you specifically, but in January, there's probably some days that, you know, and yeah, it's still snowing. Yeah, it's still, you know, in single digits. But you know what? If you're even aware of a new day, it means you woke up. Like Brother Pat's been saying all week, if you're even aware that you're still alive, regardless of the weather, you ought to rejoice because God didn't owe it to you. It's easy to rejoice though when the weather's good. It's easy to rejoice when everything's going good for you. I'll tell you something, no matter what's going on in your life, and I know there's issues and health and financial and kids and parents and sin and we understand all that, but if you're saved in the long view, man, in the long view, I mean, one of these days this is going to be over, and you don't have a problem in this flesh. that won't be taken care of by the trumpet blowing. Now, that judgment seat of Christ is a whole other issue. But I said to Pastor today, the worst spot at the judgment seat of Christ is going to be better than the best spot at the other judgment. Better make sure you're saved tonight. Say, what is he talking about? I wish you'd ask me that one-on-one, or Brother Dean, or Brother Mike, or probably any man and half the women in here. We'll tell you what that means. Amen. So you don't now miss it. Amen. All right? God makes all the days. You ought to rejoice in them. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, that's not the same as being happy. And I like being happy. I've been unhappy. I've made other people unhappy. I've made the Lord unhappy. Of that, I have repented. I want to maintain joy, because joy is fruit of the Spirit. And joy is more. Joy will get you through unhappy times. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. It comes from God. It's Galatians 5:22. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Don't be careful. Don't let your joy only be associated with good days or good times. Because here's why. You'll be depressed much of the time. Because every day is not beautiful out. And sometimes rough things are going on. And we got to weather the storms. And thank God we've got a God that will never leave us and never forsake us. Amen. Thank God that it says lily of the valleys. You know, valleys is plural, but lilies isn't. You got one lily, the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, that will help us through all the ups and downs and the issues of this life. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Not only if your joy is only when everything's going good, not only will you be depressed, because there's going to be days when things aren't, you'll be depressing. You'll be depressing to be around. We're not going to do Eeyore again tonight. But I'm going to tell you what, who needs it? You know what I'm saying? Don't let your joy, it said rejoice in the Lord always. Don't let your joy, don't let your spirit be controlled by circumstances. Not if you got the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And there's folks. A guy went into Lester Roloff's office one time, and Brother Roloff sitting behind his desk. He said, "Hey, well, brother, or so and so." He said, "How's things going?" And the guy said this. He said, "Well, pretty well under the circumstances." And I guess that was a lead-in, you know. And Brother Roloff looked at him and said, "What are you doing under there?" Think about that. What are we, born again, heaven bound children of God, doing under circumstances when we've got the joy of the Lord as our strength? I got a quote in one of my Bibles. I don't know who I quoted it. I might have thought it up myself. Probably not. It said this. It says, when your circumstances go crazy, anybody ever experienced that besides me? When your circumstances go crazy, don't go with them. I know that's a David Spurgeonism. Isn't that what we were talking about? That's profoundly deep. Amen. Our joy doesn't have anything to do with circumstances. It has to do with God. It comes from God. The joy of the Lord. Listen, there's a difference. Let me say it again. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Listen, I'm not happy about a lot of things going on these days. I love my country. I'm not happy about what's going on in America. Amen. I'm not happy about some things that are going on in some of the churches I go to. I see things I don't agree with at all. I see where that's headed sometimes, and man, it grieves my heart. Sometimes there's places I don't go back to because that doesn't make me happy at all. Amen. Listen, there's things going on in my own family tonight I'm not happy about. There's things in my life I'm not happy about. There's struggles I fight in my life today that I wish I didn't have to. But I'm glad, and it says rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I'm glad that you and I can still have something. We can still fellowship with God. We can still fellowship with each other. We can still attain a higher place than just being centered around what's going on. Because sometimes everything's not going on so good. But everything's always going on good with Him. Amen. Joy of the Lord give you the strength to persevere when the rough times come. When sin gets in there and besets. and he gives you a chance to repent. 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 Get reestablished. Amen. Don't let it rain anymore. Get the joy of the Lord back. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I'll just be honest with you. That's not always easy to do. Always. But you can do it. You're supposed to do it. And you can do it. Through Christ. No other way but through Christ. Number three, look at verse 6. Paul says, I can do. Now, we know why that's in there. To tell you and I that we can too. That's why he wrote it to that church. That's why the Holy Spirit wrote it to this church. And every other church has got enough sense to open the King James Bible and heed it. Read it and heed it. Hear it and do it. Verse number 6. But it says, no. Verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. That does not mean be careless. That's not it at all. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So here's what that verse tells you. Be careful for nothing. Pray about everything and be thankful for anything. That's what that means. It says, be careful. And again, that's not the same as careless. Careful means full of care. If you're full of care, if there's an issue, if there's an area, if there's a circumstance in your life that you're ate up with concern and care over, well, there's other things that are being neglected. Amen. That's why that's not good. Psalm 37 verse 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Psalm 37 verse 7, again, fret not thyself. Verse 8, fret not thyself. Wonder why it says that? Because that's what we do. That's what we do. We multiply our issues and problems sometimes. We, instead of giving them to God, we get all worked up over issues that distract us from the good fight of faith, from spiritual matters and issues, and launch us immediately into old man reasoning and responses. That's what happens when we're full of care. That's why it says be careful for nothing. Listen. But, here's what we say, but, here's how the Lord answers that. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You cast your care on Him, you care upon Him, and you can get back to His business. You can get back to the joy of the Lord. You can get back, amen, to the things that are important. Amen? Be careful for nothing. But, and then it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. We're to stay in constant communication with the Lord. We've used the verse this week, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I wonder if that means that if you're not acknowledging Him in all your ways, you know, even those multitude of things that you've got under control. I mean, God, to some Christians, God's like a spare tire in the trunk of their car. You know, if I ever need one, if I ever need a spare, I got one. Some of you don't even know if there's air in that one or not. As a matter of fact, I don't. Amen. But listen, God's not a spare tire in case you might need Him someday. Well, I got all this out of control, but boy, if anything big comes up, you know, I got a big brother, you know, I got a big father, you know. No, man, we need God all the time. God's not supposed to be the co-pilot. God will not be the co-pilot. I wonder if we don't acknowledge Him in all our ways. I wonder if He's therefore obligated to direct any of our path. He is such a gentleman. I've seen Him just say, oh, you got this one? Oh, I got things to do anyway. So go ahead. Don't worry. You will be in touch after you've made a mess, and I'll be there for you. That's the way you want it to go. That's the way you want it to go. It's your choice. It's a bad choice. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything. everything is to be done with thanksgiving. That's not easy to do sometimes. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, and I believe what the Bible says, but boy, I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of things come down the pike I can't make any good of to save my life. I'm glad I got a God that I trust. Amen, because some things don't make any sense to me. A lot of things don't make sense to me. But I know this, I got a Bible that says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say for everything. But if you trust God in everything, you can give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm going to tell you straight up. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ. And there's things that I've had. The only way I could give thanks for was through Jesus Christ. Because boy, in my flesh, in my humanity, I couldn't. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whether it feels like it, whether it seems like it, whether I think I can. I got the Word of God on it, and so do you. I tell you, there's a benefit to it. Look in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, if we'll just what? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request. I know it's not easy, but the benefit, if we'll do it, the peace of God. Remember the peace of God? Can you think of anything more valuable than that? I'm glad your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you think it is, it's because by faith you trust that God put it there because He said. But you can't. You've never read it there. You've never seen it there by faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. But I'm going to tell you something. I have experienced the peace of God. That's a little token He gives you, a little earnest that He gives you. And I've experienced the lack of it. Haven't you? Anything in your life come down the pike where you made the wrong decision and the peace of God was gone and you knew you were proceeding under your own power and you were just hoping it'd turn out right and sometimes it didn't. And you get your peace restored by going to God and saying, you know, God, you were right and I was wrong. Do you realize that's how simple it is? That is how simple it is. But if we can do what it said, if we can trust Him enough to give thanks in everything, it says the peace of God will... Which passeth understanding, ain't that the truth, shall keep your hearts and minds. People are losing their minds these days. And they ain't all out there on dope, and they're not all out there. It's not just that lost crowd. Christians are losing their minds because they don't understand, they don't comprehend that they can do what they're supposed to do through Jesus Christ. You can be saved and not walk with God, but I feel sorry for you. Don't try it. And I know I'm preaching probably to the choir Friday night. Praise the Lord, you're here again tonight. Some of you I've seen all week. Praise the Lord. Peace of God is pretty valuable. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, you're not going to get anything on that list out of the New York Times or CNN or the television or the radio, where they make their money on reporting on things that aren't any of those things. And that get a Christian down. And Paul knew it was going to be like this. He warned the church of Philippi that it was that way then. So you better find something that contains some virtue, something that's worth praising God over. Think on these things so you don't lose your mind. Amen. Now I look around now and that truth of the circumstance of humanity is multiplied by 2,000 more years, and it's that much crazier out there, and the same stuff's still happening, but with our media Man, you find out 100 rotten things going on around the world in one day. Amen. Because of communications. And I'll tell you what, it's putting a strain on some folks. But as crazy as the world's getting, I can find some virtue. I can find some praise. First of all, just I look at all this and I'm thinking, wow, Lord, it really is unfolding exactly the way that you said. And despite of what a lot of ecumenicals want to convince themselves, we are not going to usher in the kingdom. Man, at his best date, has ushered in this kingdom. The world in which we live in today is the evidence of man's best shot in 6,000 years of human history. The world is coming apart at the seams right now. And this is the best man can do. The good news is, the Lord's the one that's going to usher in the kingdom. And I'm glad I'm part of His kingdom. Amen. Amen. But you know what? God has generated some circumstances. Talking about circumstances, I've watched not only the things unfolding, and they're not all negative. I've watched God work circumstances around to give God's people another chance to get their confidence on the right thing. You know what? A lot of Christians have been distracted in the last couple of decades, and they're saved, and they're church members, and they go to church, but their heart is in things of this world. And a lot of the things in this world, a lot of things, whether it's retirement or toys, a man's life consists not in the things which he possesses. The Bible says that, but a whole lot of people must think it does because they've accumulated stuff they couldn't pay for, and now the world's coming apart at the seams and everybody's panicking. Maybe this depression we're in or recession we're in or whatever they want to call it, maybe it doesn't bother me as much as some, because when God saved me, I didn't have a dime in my pocket. I don't even remember if them jailhouse uniforms we had even had pockets. We didn't have anything to put in them. The feds took everything I had. I had nothing. And I've lost nothing. I've only gained everything through Jesus Christ I gained.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't lose any money on Wall Street. Amen. Because I didn't have any money on Wall Street. Amen. 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 So, but here's what happened. Here's the fruit of Christians have in the churches. My experience last year, 2010, was one of the best years that I've ever had in evangelism. Certainly not financially. Okay? We feel it because you feel it. But I've seen the Spirit of God move last year, because people were getting their foundation back on Jesus Christ, on the rock, on what it should be, and they're coming to church, and people responding and singing with tears in their eyes, and for the first time in a decade, they're looking at what they're singing and being reminded that, yeah, it's not the bank account, it's not the retirement fund, it's not the fancy house, hey, it is the old rugged cross. And it's been a joy to watch Christians get right. And then that affects lost people they work with and live near. And people come and get saved in church again. Things don't like that don't happen when America's been cursed by her prosperity. So now that the foundation's been rattled a little bit, guess what? We've got a foundation that isn't bothered a bit. Think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now you might have to force yourself. It's real easy to get caught up in all the junk that's going on. All the stuff. Stay off the radio. Cut back a little bit. Stay out of the news, man. It'll just depress you. Amen. Read your Bible. Hang around Christians and see what God's done and what God's doing. And balance it, right? I'm not preaching against well, I probably could if you gave me a chance. But, amen. Amen. You might have to force yourself to find something good to think on, but you can. Can't you? Because, like the Bible says so. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm not selling you a pie in the sky. I'm telling you what that book says.
Amen. Amen.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can't hang in there. You can't stay in the good fight. You can stand for God. You can live for God. You can make a difference. Of some having compassion, making you can. You can. You can!
Amen.
Well, that Bible says you can. Now, I got saved because I didn't have any better sense than to believe what that book says. Now, why wouldn't that work in your marriage? Why wouldn't that work in raising your kids? Why wouldn't that work in your church? Why wouldn't that work? It got your name off that roster of hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. Put you in the book of life. Those other things that book says you can do them too. All right, last of all, this is the last of all for me for a year. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Paul's a busy guy. Do. That's what he says. These things that you've learned and received and heard and seen, do them. Because you can. Because you can do all things. And this is what he's referring to. All the things, not just this epistle, not just this chapter, but what he's preached and what he's written and what he's recorded and what he's seen and what he's conveyed, what he's testified about, the admonitions that he's given to the churches. He said, do them. What did he say? He said, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what he told you to do. He said, these things that you've learned and received and heard and seen of me, so do it. Amen. You can be the spiritual leader of your home. He said to. You can. Hey, wives, you can submit to your husbands. You can. Bible says you can do anything that he taught you to do, told you to do. I'm not giving you Old Testament. We're not using Abraham and spiritualizing nothing. This is Pauline doctrine. You can do those things. You can raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yeah, but they don't want to. Listen, they've got a free will too. You've got an obligation to train them up in the way they should go. What they do with it's their business. I know it's a heartbreak. The greatest heartbreak there is when they don't go right. But you're obligated to God to do your part. Do right, you can. God forbid, don't give up on your kids. And when they choose the wrong path, then stay in prayer. You can be a witness. You can be a witness. You can, I like this. You can stand in the evil day. Yeah, I think we're there. What do you think? You can. Now here's the good news. Look at the verse 9. I'm almost done. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Here's the benefit. There's always a benefit. When you do what God says, it benefits you way more than it does God. He just gets tickled about the fact that we, as stubborn, rebellious sinners by nature, when we'll do what he says, he gets a thrill out of that. And he gets such a thrill out of that that he rewards us for doing what was best for us. Anyway, and people are so afraid God wants something from you. How about a little love, you know? Maybe that's all. Look what it says. And God of peace shall be with you. I mean, look, I like the peace of God part. Peace of God that can rule in your heart. But man, it gets better than that. Not only the peace of God which passes all understanding, keeping your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that book says the God of peace shall be with you. Hey, listen, I've had folks forsake me. I've deserved it sometimes. But he won't. He hasn't. And he won't. The God of peace. Let me ask you something tonight. I'm not asking you if you're saved. He will. Because he might know somebody that's not. I'm asking you, First Bible, is the God. And I'm not talking to you corporately. I'm talking to you individually. Is the God of peace with you tonight? If not, it's your move. He gave us some things to do just in the context of this one chapter. Holy Spirit may have put his finger on something else. Maybe something that's been hit during the course of this week. Maybe something you've been generally trying to get your attention about so that you can move to the next level, so that your spiritual growth can start again. Because whatever, bless God, you made up your mind isn't important, it still is important to God. And it's got you spinning your wheels. And maybe it's time to gain a little traction in progressing toward God and the service of God. And that it's your move. I just want to say this. You can. You can do what needs to be done. You can stand. You can witness. You can live for God. You can please God. You've already made a difference. You can keep making a difference till the Lord comes back. Amen? You are one gracious Heavenly Father, Lord. And I thank you, God, for making it easy to preach to these precious people, and I take no credit in any way, shape, or form for any liberty that we've had. No great eloquence or experience on my part. Quite contrary. My Father, I yield to myself a vessel and prayerfully that it might be meet for the Master's use. But God, I know that the liberty that we've experienced from the presence of the Lord this week had more to do with some folks that really wanted you to meet with them and speak to them and not just tickle their ears, not just go through the motion, not put another notch on some kind of belt. Some folks that came faithfully and gave cheerfully and all the ingredients to go together to make this place a place where you'll want to come and want to be, and you've met with us, and I thank you for that. I thank you for my wife that travels with me. I thank you for my calling. I thank you for the friends that we have, our family has here at First Bible Church. I pray that nothing would ever interfere with that. I pray that the little ploys of the devil and little things and devices that he has doesn't interfere with our friendship and relationship. I pray most of all that every one of us in here would just stay faithful to you until the end. And I think it's going to be soon. And for the Christian, the end is the beginning. Now, Jesus said, or Paul quoted and said, you can do all things through Christ, but Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so I pray you'd help us quit trying to do things, even good things, even things that we perceive to be godly or pleasing to you. I pray that we wouldn't be guilty of trying to do them without you. And that's when we start taking the credit. And that's the opposite of what Brother Pat told us needs to happen. You need to increase. We need to decrease. And I'm reminded that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And without Jesus Christ, nobody's getting to heaven. And a bunch of folks in here that are saved. And the Spirit of God bears witness. And I am sensitive to that. And I'm happy about that. And I feel much at home here because of that. But at the same time, there may be somebody in here tonight that's not saved. And I'm happy to report they can get saved. They can get their sins forgiven tonight by faith in Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. There's someone in here tonight that doesn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt they'd go to heaven if they were to die tonight for any reason. I pray that tonight they'd allow one of us to open the Bible and show them how they can know. They can be saved. God, I leave it up to you. It's always been up to you anyway. I just thank you for your goodness and grace to this old sinner. I pray you'd have your way in this last night. I pray this church might even, as a group, gather around an old-fashioned altar and pray for the days to come and the condition of our country and the opportunity that you've given First Bible to be a witness in this place. I pray that, God, we'd just be better off after this week because you met with us and we did business with you and we anticipate and long for your coming and pray that we'll be found faithful at that day. I love you tonight, Lord.
And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you, church. Amen.
Message tonight was pretty clear and plain. And if God spoke to you tonight, something in your life that you should be doing, and you need to be doing, and by God's grace you're willing to be doing, then why not tonight? You just let the Lord know that you heard what He said to you this evening. Is there something you need to change? Something that you need to start doing in your life? Something that maybe, I don't know, unwillingness or unbelief has kept you from doing? It might be something in your...